David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all was lost, save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify.
Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him.
That's all I want to say.
How many sermons have been preached about this Jesus? How many songs have been sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done. Well, did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him? When I can see no way, he makes that way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him.
That's all I want to say.
Can you mention that you love him? How you worship and adore him? When you can't see no way, he makes that way. And can you mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made you? He loves you, so come to him today. Let me mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made us. He loves us, and it's called amazing grace.
Amen. Thank you for that song. We can never get enough of singing about our Lord and his love towards us. Oh, and I'm hoping you'll mention that somebody this week. Matthew chapter 25, and as you find your place there, if you would please stand with me this morning as we read the Word of God. Matthew 25, and when you find yourself there in the first gospel, if you'll go down to verse 14, that's where we'll begin. We'll read a few verses this morning. Matthew 25 and verse 14. The Bible says this: "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord, we thank you for the good music we've heard this morning, what you've done in our hearts, the Sunday school hour. We're asking you, even now, that you would again, as we open your word, speak to us and allow your Holy Spirit to move inside of our hearts, inside of our minds. Lord, cause us to understand. Help us to have ears to hear. Lord, may we understand what your word says and what you want from our lives. Lord, if there's things we need to change today, help us to change those things, to become more like you. Lord, if we need to be more steadfast, Lord, help us to do that. Lord, just please give us wisdom on what we need to do. Be with Pastor Becker. Fill him with your spirit. Use him, Lord, this morning to preach your word with power. Give him liberty, we ask. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you're seated, I want to remind you, we don't often now, but I want to encourage you, when you come to church, try to limit the distractions when it comes to your cell phone. It can be a distraction. It can be a help, but it can also be a hindrance. And so I want to encourage you, make sure your cell phone is turned off or silent if you would, and try not to let the devil distract you during these times if you would. But in Matthew chapter 25, we see this parable that Jesus Christ gives us about the master, the Lord, and his servants. And the master is about to go on a far journey, it says. And when he's about to go on that journey, it says that he's going to take these talents, these amounts of money, and he's going to give them to the servants for this care while he's gone. Later on in this parable, it would say he was going to be gone on a long journey. How long it was, we don't know, and maybe they didn't know. But the master was going to come back again and check on these servants to see how they handled the goods that he left with them. And he was going to come back and check on them and see how they did. Now remember this, that there's a master. There's the Lord, as it is mentioned in this passage. And there were servants that were under the care of the master. And that the master had maybe worked with these servants for a number of years and knew what the master wanted, knew how to care for his possessions and knew what the master would and wouldn't do, as you could see through this passage. And so when he leaves, he gives them each a certain amount of talents. To one of the servants, he gives 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Why could he do that? Because he's the master, and he could do as he wanted to with them. And he was going to go on a journey, and he was going to come back and check on how they were doing with the goods that he left them with the talents. As we look at this passage, this traveling man, or this Lord, as it's mentioned in this passage, is a picture of the Lord. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. The servants here are a picture of you and I. And how he would leave a possession with us, he would leave talents with us, if you will, and he's leaving a possession for us, and Jesus Christ is coming back. We sang about it earlier about Easter, about how he is risen, and we have an empty tomb, but Jesus Christ left, but he's coming back again. He promised, he said, I will come back again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He made a promise, and God always keeps his promises. And he's coming back again. As we look at this passage today and we look at this message today, I want to ask you this question. What servant are you? What servant are you? This master had 3 servants that he left his possessions with. Maybe they were the finest of his servants. Maybe they were the most trusted. Maybe they were his only 3. Whatever the case may be, he chose to give a possession to each of them that he could have taken with him, but he left him with something valuable, and he was going to come back and check on them again. I want to give you a few points from this message. As you look in verse number 14, I want to look at the distribution of the talents in verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who delivered his own servants, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, whose goods was he giving out here? They were the master's goods. They were the Lord's goods here in this passage. In verse 15, it says, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." He called his servants together and said, "All right, come together. Let's gather up now, and I'm gonna leave you something because I'm going on a journey. And I'm going to give you possessions while I'm gone." And the Bible says he gave to their several ability. See, the master knows the servants. Remember, this is a picture of the Lord being our master and us being the servants. And don't get weird about the servant term. He is our master and we are his servant. We are bought with a price, the Bible says. "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I am a servant of the Lord, gladly. The Bible says no man can serve 2 masters. You're going to serve someone. You're going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve the devil. You're going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve your flesh, which would be the same thing, but the same thing as the world that would be. So we are a servant of somebody. Let's get that clear. We are serving and following somebody. You may say, "I'm my own man, I'm my own lady, I do my own thing." You know what's funny is the people that do that are usually the ones following the crowds. "I'm my own person." Well, you look like everybody else. How can you be your own person if you look and talk and act like everyone else? So the Bible says that the master gave to the servants according to their ability. And he decided what they needed, what they could be trusted with, and what they could do with that. And he gave to each of them to their ability. And the Bible says he took a journey. Now, he trusted them. He trusted them with a possession that he was going to come back and check on. And he gave them a talent, an amount of money that he gave them. That amount of whatever it may be, we don't exactly know what that is, but he gave them a possession. Now we know this, that our master, our Lord, he came for us. He came and died on the cross to pay for our sins. If you trust in Christ as your Savior, he is your Savior. But after he becomes your Savior, he's our master. He died for us. He bought my life with his blood. Now I don't have to work for God to be saved. I want to work for God because I am saved. I don't understand the principle of, well, I am saved, now I get to do whatever I want. I'm saved, now I get to do whatever he wants with my life. God has left me with a possession to do his will. What has he left with me? Well, first of all, he gave me his life. I can't think of a greater thing to give your servant than your life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the greatest servant of all because he gave his life for us, that he came to earth to die and to pay for my sins. He gave us a possession. He bought our salvation with his blood, and there is no greater gift that anyone will ever receive than the gift of salvation, and something that God has freely given to us, nothing that we earn, but he has given to us if you accept it by faith. You have to choose to receive salvation. It's not something to where you have no choice in the matter. He's offered it. You must receive it. What else has God given us? God has given me life. Without God, I don't have life. Without God, I don't have health. Without God, I don't have a home. I don't have a job. I don't have a family. I have nothing without God. God has given me everything that I have. And you would say, well, I've earned everything that I have. No, you haven't. God's given that to you. Now, God has you work for that. I understand that. But you have nothing if it wasn't for God. God has given me the life that I have. Some people say, well, it's my life. How can God tell me what to do? Hey, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. If you don't know that today, you can trust in Christ as your Savior. But it's not my life. It's God's life. He bought and paid for my salvation. What has God given us? God has given us his word. The most valuable treasure that you hold in your hands is the very word of God. What a precious substance that God has given to us, the book of life, that God has given to us his living word for us to have. But many times we take these talents that God has given to us. We take our salvation for granted sometimes. We take our lives for granted sometimes. We take the word of God for granted sometimes. But God has given us a valuable treasure. You know, the Bible says this, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. God has given us much, hasn't He? God, we have an abundance of blessings. We are overflowing with blessings. And again, if you don't know you're saved, that's where the blessings begin. That's truly where the blessings begin, at your salvation. But on top of that, God has given us so many blessings. And if you will, for the story's sake today, for the talents that God has given to us and blessed us with. And many times we say, well, it's mine. And God says, no, it's mine. I gave them to you. And I can come back and take them whenever I want. God will never take away your salvation, but anything else God could take away from us if we're not a faithful servant. We see that God distributed the talents, but then we look at the duty of the servants. Now again, these were servants of the master. What they did for the master before this time, we don't know. But in verse number 16, it says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made other 5 talents. Now, if I were to leave my money with one of these teenage boys right here today, and I said, here's $5, do with it what you want, but I'm going to come back and check on it, I'm going to guess that $5 is not going to be around anymore, and they may be coming to ask for more money when I came back, is my guess. But the master left 5 talents, and this servant understand the importance. He understood the responsibility that he had, the duty that he had to his master. He didn't look at that and say, I get to do whatever I want with it. I can spend it how I want, use it how I want. He said, no, it's not mine. It's my master's. How would my master want me to use the talents that he's given to me? And he went out and traded them and got another 5 talents. In verse number 17, and likewise he that received 2, he also gained 2. Both of them doubled. You didn't see them when it was talent, you know, the talent receiving line. He didn't go, well, I didn't get as much as he did. How come his piece is bigger than mine is? You know, you ever do that? You get, you know, you scoop a bowl of ice cream or get a slice of pizza. What do you do when you set out? Your kids get up there and go, you know, I want my brother to have the larger piece. I'd like for, you know, I would enjoy for him to have the better and I'll take the lesser. No one does that. They're looking to get the biggest and best for themselves. But he said, I'm going to take what I've been given and I'm going to do the best I can with what God has given to me according to his ability, the Bible says. So we see, first of all, the faith of these 2 servants. We see the faith of these servants, that they took what was given to them, and the Bible says they traded that. They did what their master would wanted them to do, and they used faith and applied that with work. You understand that faith and works really go together, right? And the Bible says in the book of James, faith without works is dead, being alone. God has given us salvation for free. It's a gift you never have to work for to get it, a gift you never have to work to keep it. But after salvation, that God has given us faith to put it to work. God wants us to put our faith to work, not just to come and sit. I'm thankful you come to church today, but God has saved us for more purpose than just to come and sit in church, right? Amen. That God has saved us for a purpose, that he wants us to be his disciples, to be his servants, to take what he's given to us and to go out into all the world, to take our salvation, to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to take what we have and to multiply that into more. So we see the faith of the servants, we see the work of these 2 servants, but then in verse number 18, we see the fear of a servant. In verse number 18, it says, but he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He in fear. Later on in this passage, he'll reply to the master that he dug and he hid it for fear because he didn't want to lose it. I would say to that servant, well, at least you didn't lose what I gave you. At least you brought back 1, but the master wanted more than what he gave him to begin with. Understand the principle there that God doesn't want just what he gave you. He wants more. He wants to see it multiply. God wants to see our faith grow. God wants to see our works to grow, to be more like the Lord. And God has given them a measure of ability, a talent. But one in fear went and dug a hole. And he was maybe looking around, making sure no one was watching, and dug a hole and buried in the earth, and no one was going to find it. And when the master came back, he came. But he wasn't joyous, we'll see in a while here, but in fear, he said he hung on to that. I wonder how many Christians today in fear are not willing to do what God wants them to do because of what they might lose. Fear of what it might cost you. Fear of what others may say. But living in fear is not living in faith. that God wants us to live a life of faith. Faith for salvation is where it begins, but living a life of faith after that. That if God has called you to do something, He's given you the ability to do it. But how many times do we say, well, it's my life. Well, you know, I don't like to talk to people, and I don't want to tell them about the Lord, and I couldn't give my tithe to the Lord, and all the things we hold back with by fear. Do you realize when you hold back by fear that God can't bless that? God is looking to bless those that are faithful and that are working and serving Him, but those that are fearful and holding on to that one talent, we'll see later on in this passage that it was that one talent that he had was taken from him and given to another. The thing you hold on to so tightly because you never want to lose it, God may take that from you in the end because of our lack of faith. We see the duty of the servant. Their duty was to perform what the master would want them to do. And that's the same thing for us today, that we have a duty to our master. Now look at verse number 19. Now we see the demand of the master. In verse 19 it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. We don't know how long the time was, but a set time that the master was going to come back again. And he was going to reckon with his servants and see how they did with what they were given. You can imagine a boss going to the workplace as he left and said, I'm going to come back and see how the job is doing. And guess what? The master wants to see progress. The boss wants to see that things are progressing when he's gone, not that everything stopped. And so the master comes back, and he had a demand, and he's going to reckon with them. He's going to give an account. Those servants are going to give an account to their master and tell how they did with what they were given. As a child, I remember my dad was self-employed, and he'd go out to work for the day, and many of my summer days were spent doing jobs that my dad would give me to do. And we played and goofed off, as many kids do, but I remember my dad would leave in the morning, and we had quite a bit of property, and it was my job as the oldest son to care for the yard. And so I've gladly passed it on to my son. You know, the heritage my father gave to me, I pass along to my son as well. But I remember my dad would leave me in the morning, and he would say, okay, Mark, and he'd say, I need you to weed eat the property. Now, it wasn't small. We lived on 5 acres. And I thought, I'm going to die in the fields, and they're going to find me someday. I'm never getting out. And I remember my dad would leave in the day, and he would go, okay, now, you know, this part right here will take you about 30 minutes, and this part over here will take you 45 minutes, and up here will take you about an hour. And he'd tell me that. I didn't realize at the time he was lying to me. It was never going to take that amount of time. It was going to take all day. And after a while, I figured it out. Yeah, I know. And I was like, okay. And I do get out there and go to work. But I knew this. It was my job to be working when my dad came home. And when he pulled back on the property, he better see it done or me continually working. And if it wasn't done, there would be an exchange of words. It wouldn't be really an exchange. It would be a little more one-sided of the work that needed to be accomplished. Why? Because my father gave instruction to me, his son, of what he wanted to accomplish. And the father, he leaves us with instructions. He's left us with his word. And we're going to give an account for what we've heard. We're going to give an account for what God has given to us when the master returns. When is he coming back? We don't know. But we know he's coming back. He said, I will come again. The Bible says he'll come as a thief in the night. No man knoweth the hour, not even the angels in heaven. And when God comes back, he wants to find his servants working. God forbid when the master comes back, I'm shaming his name. God forbid when Jesus Christ comes back that I've walked away from the Lord. God forbid that when God comes back, we think, I was going to get serious about serving you someday, and there's going to be a reckoning. There's going to be an account given to God someday with the life that God has given to me. And an account that you will give to God someday as well for what God has given to you. You will answer to God for your life. You will answer to God for your works, the Bible says. That our works will be tried, whether it be gold, silver, and precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. As a Christian, your works are going to be tried of what sort they are. And you're going to give an account to God for what you have done with the life that God has given to you. You will give an account to God for your salvation. Now, not that you are saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Aren't you thankful that you're once saved, always saved? You never lose that. I don't have to work to get it. I don't have to work to keep it. That's not an excuse. That's a promise by God. But we'll give an account for our salvation. We'll all give an account for what God has given to me, the greatest gift the gift of a home in heaven. What are you doing with that greatest gift, that talent, if you will, that God has given to you, that you have an opportunity to tell other people about Him? You have that ability. First of all, you not only have that ability, you have that command by God to preach the gospel and go into all the world to every creature. There's going to be a reckoning someday. There's going to be a demand given by the Master between you and Him of how you have handled what He's given to you. And then next we see the delight of the Master in verse number 20. And it says, "And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him," don't you long to hear these words someday? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Can you imagine standing before God someday and say, "God, I have nothing for you. I have nothing to offer you with the life that you gave to me, and you're saved yet so as by fire," the Bible says. But to get to come before God and to lay the crowns at His feet and the Lord look at you and say, "Well done." No one has lived the Christian life perfect. No one ever has. No one ever will. But what are you doing with what God gave to you? And the Master looked at him and said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He said, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." The next servant with 2, same exact conversation. He brought 2 more, and he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He didn't say to the second one, "You didn't do as much as the other." He brought 5 back. He said, "No, well done. You brought back double of what I gave to you with what God gave to you in your life." There was a delight of the Master. There is nothing like, as a child, your parent looking at you and saying, "Good job. I'm proud of you. I love you. You did a great job. I'm so proud of what you did." There's something in the heart of a child that needs that, that craves that acceptance and that pleasing of doing what's right. But as a Christian, do we seek to please God in our life? Or am I seeking to please me, seeking to please the world? Or are you looking for one day for God to look down and say, "Well done"? To stand before God someday and He say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." We see the delight of the Master, but lastly today we see the disappointment of the Master. In verse number 24, God spends the most time on this last servant here. And it says, "But he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine." He said, I dug it up. I've got the one, and I brought the one thing back to you. I say this, at least he brought back one and brought back nothing. But what was the Master's response in the next verse? In verse 26, "And the Lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at the coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. And from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We see the disappointment of the Master. He said, "Master, I know that you're a hard servant, a hard man, and that you've reaped where you've not sown." And he said, "You knew that, and you should have done something with what I gave you." And he was disappointed at him. Disappointed. I remember there's a few times, one specifically, where I disappointed my dad, and I lied to him. And I knew what I did, and I don't know why I did, but I lied to him. To this day, I have no idea how he found out. No idea. And that's a reminder, children, we will find out. But I remember riding with him and working, and at some point during the day, he said, and I don't remember how the conversation went, but he said, "You didn't tell the truth. Why'd you lie to me?" I never got grounded, never got spanked, never got anything taken away. But you know what hurt the worst was the disappointment of my father. I'll never forget that. I never forget disappointing him, thinking, "Man, why did I do that? Why did I lie? Why didn't I do that?" You know, someday even worse, it would disappoint the Master. to disappoint Jesus Christ and to leave him. I think of Peter that cursed Jesus' name and he looked at Jesus, and the Bible said, till the cock crow, they'll deny me thrice. And after he realized he had disappointed his master, he went out and he wept bitterly. And he thought, what have I done? I've disappointed Jesus Christ. I left him in his hour of need. Let's not disappoint the master today. God has given you much. What are you doing with it? Maybe you're the 5 talent. Maybe you're the 2 talent. Maybe you're the 1 talent. I don't know which one I am. I'd like to think that God has given me much. But here's the thing, though. To whom much is given, much is required. And God's going to come back, and he's going to come back after his journey, and he's going to come back for his own, and we're going to give an account for what we've done with what God has given to us. What servant are you today? What have you done with what God has given to you? The most important thing is this: what have you done with Jesus Christ? What have you done with Jesus Christ? If Jesus Christ loved you so much that he came to die on the cross to pay for your sins so you would never have to spend a second in a place called hell, but he want you to be in heaven, a place where he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God wants you to be in heaven with him. He loves you. He came for you. He died for you. He rose again from the grave. He sent the word of God to us. He sent a preacher here today to tell you how to go to heaven. What have you done with Jesus Christ? You see, I've got my own way. The Bible says there is no other way. There's not a single other way to get to heaven. You can keep trying, but you'll never get there. It's only through Jesus Christ. What have you done with the Savior? What have you done with God's Word? God has given us this holy and precious Word, but how many Christians don't even know their Bible? Don't even read the Word of God? And if they do, maybe they read it and know it, but maybe not follow it and pick and choose what we like out of it. God has given to us a treasure. What are you doing with the Word of God that he's given to you? What have you done with the Gospel? You know that you're saved and you're going to heaven. Who have you told about Jesus Christ lately? Who have you told about him? The greatest gift I've received and the greatest gift I can tell someone about is about Jesus Christ. But how many times, as a servant of the Master, I don't tell them about him? How many times do I keep my mouth closed and God says, you should tell them, you should be a witness, you should invite them, and how many times I don't and I should? Be a witness for the Master. What has God given to you, and what are you giving back to God? Head bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. What servant are you today? Are you the one that you'd stand before God someday and you truly believe that God would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or would you be the other one that he would say, depart from me, slothful, wicked servant? What have you done with what God has given to you? With head bowed and eyes closed, please, would you say, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I've never trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I'd like to know. You know, it's just by simple faith. You don't get saved by going to church. You don't get saved by giving money and offering. You don't get saved by good works. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ alone, accepting him by faith and asking for forgiveness for your sins. If you don't know that today, wouldn't you like to know that? The greatest gift ever given, salvation. With head bowed and eyes closed, if you don't know that you're saved today, would you raise your hand so we can have a word of prayer for you? I'd love to pray for you today. If you say, I don't know I'm saved, but today I'd like to know that, would you slip your hand up? No one's looking around. Don't mean to embarrass you at all, but I'd like to tell you about the greatest gift ever given. Anyone at all? Say, well, if that's the case, then we're all Christians. We all know that we're saved. Let me ask you this. What are you doing with what God has given to you? With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? God, I pray you bless this invitation time. Would you please work on our hearts and help us to respond? I pray that you'd be humble enough to respond to what you've spoken to us about today. What servant are we today? Heads bowed and eyes closed. As the ladies begin to play, the invitation time is open. You can come and spend time with God today and spend time in prayer. The Master has given to you a measure of talents. What do you have to give to him when he returns? If we've spoken to you about baptism, if you would come forward for baptism this morning, please. You need a place to pray. You can come and talk to Brother James. You don't know you're saved, maybe. You have a question about baptism or membership, whatever it may be. Would you spend time with God today and speak to him? Let God speak to you today. Thank you.
don't believe that any of us will stand before God someday and be 100% pleased with the life that we've lived. We've all sinned and made mistakes and doubted and walked away from God at times. No one's going to live a perfect life, but what would it be that God would have you to do? Is there an area you're holding back in maybe that God would have you to surrender to Him? Something that God has given to you that maybe you've held on to and not given back to Him? We'll have one more verse of invitation this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this time to spend with you today, Lord, and thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for what you've given to us that we don't deserve, but we're very blessed. I pray you would bless the remainder of this service, and we pray this in your name. Amen. If you would have a seat for a moment, we have baptism this morning. Brother James will make a few announcements. Baptism will be short, and we'll take care of this morning for a bit, please.
All right. This Wednesday, a regular service. We have teen soul winning at 3:30. We have Bible study King's Kids at the 6:30 time. It has been changed. Yes, it is 6:30. So please be mindful of that. Again, Saturday soul winning visitation at 9:00. 9:30. You could be here at 9:00. That's fine. You'd be at the door waiting for everyone else to get here at 9:30. But hey, at least you'd be here. Amen. But we're going to be passing out the Easter tracts of this Saturday. Again, please be mindful of the child dedication on March the 17th. If you haven't signed up, please make sure that you do so. I was looking for Mrs. Wheaton. Is she in here? I didn't see. Oh, there you are. Is there still time? Okay, there's still time, amen. If you're thinking about it, pray about it. Talk to Pastor Becker or Mrs. Wheaton if you have any questions about that. Information station is where the sign-up sheet is. Also, March the 23rd, we have Easter canvassing and breakfast time. Hey, who doesn't want a free meal, amen? But 9:30 would be the time for that, March the 23rd. Again, for the service on March 31st. And then we also have our Teens for Hire. If you need some work done and you don't want to do it yourself and you got some money, amen, they've got some teens that would love. Right, teens? That was pretty weak. Teens, you would love to earn some money, right?
Yep, that's right.
So if you have work to do, we got some good teens that would be willing to put a hard day's work for a hard day's earning wage for that. If you would like to have that, sign up at the information station or see Brother Drew Brock if you have any questions concerning the Teens for Hire. Thank you so much for being here.